Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hey friends, how are you? Welcome. This is Danny Morrell with another edition of the Real Estate Sales Show. This is episode number 7. And before I get started, I just want to say thank you for all of you that are subscribing to, rating, and writing a review for the show. It does wonders for our show and for our progress. Today, I've got a special guest, and I've got to tell you, a lot of the guests we've been having are flat-out superstars, right? And a lot of them have had their breakthroughs, but I don't think anybody, neither before or after this interview, will have had the type of breakthrough that this individual is having and has had. So grab your notepads and grab your pens, because this one, my friends, if you are in any way, shape, or form feeling stuck in any way, this one's gonna light you up. Because part of what gets you excited and gets you motivated about the future is possibility. And there's no better way to be exposed to possibility than to see it right in front of your face. I'm talking about my good friend, Mr. Scott Alejo. Scott, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. So, Scott, I got a couple of questions for you today, but okay. In case nobody knows, Scott is actually a lender. You're the first guest that is a mortgage banker here on the show. How does that feel?
It feels great. I'm excited.
Awesome. Have you been listening to the show?
100%. I've loved every episode.
Which are your favorite ones so far?
It's got to be the Adrian. No, I'm sorry. Ty and Adrian's have really been up there. So has Anthony. I don't know. They've all been really good, to be honest with you, but I guess I'll give the edge to Adrian just because I knew Adrian from when he first started as well.
Yeah, you saw his breakthrough as well.
Yes.
By the way, if you guys didn't realize that, Scott has a tough time making decisions, okay? But that's okay. You can still be successful, and that's what we're going to learn today. So, Scott, one of the things that I absolutely love about your story is that I don't think people, you know, we need some sort of a visual or something, because I don't think people understand how bad you really were.
No, I was bad.
I mean, you were like bad, yeah. Right? We're talking like no money, beat up bucket car, like, and it's not all about finances, but I mean, I think that is just a symptom of what's going on the inner world, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. So when I say bad, I'm talking that Scott just really wasn't doing all that great until he finally just kind of submitted and fell in love with the process. And that's where the story changes around. So, Scott, let's start the story with the beginning. Okay. You know, you and I met how long ago?
2012. June of 2012, I want to say.
2012.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And at that time, how was life? What were you doing? What were you experiencing? What was your income like? Give it to me. Give me a nice picture of it.
My income was probably between $500 and $1,000 a month. I was driving just from my parents' house. I was living with my parents at the time. I was, 28, 27 at the time still. Living with my parents, $500 in income. I mean, I just barely had enough money for gas to get from my house to the office, and that was pretty much it. And I would just hang around Facebook all day, waiting for the business to come to me.
Okay, so time out. So you were like the prototypical. Let me guess. Did you like sit on the couch with potato chips and a hot dog on Sundays and watch football?
I was playing video games too. My Xbox was out. I was an online gamer. I mean, I was on Gears of War all the time.
Okay, so you were like really bad, Scott.
Yes, yes.
So you like reality hadn't hit you yet.
No, right? Not at all.
Okay, that's okay.
I was still much living off my parents for sure.
Okay, Scott, I'm blushing for you. That's how bad I feel for you.
Yeah.
Like, this is, yeah. You know, and it's kind of interesting, Scott, because I don't know that world. Yeah. You know, if you know my story, I mean, you know, 12 years old, my dad and my mom split. We come here, and I was forced into being an adult, like, right away. So it looks like you had, like, a little bit of a vacation from being an adult. Is that
correct? Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And you ate it up, huh?
I did.
Okay, fantastic. So, Scott, let's talk for a second. So at the time, you know, you were earning $500 to $1,000.
Yes.
This is a month.
Yes.
And this is full-time work.
Yes, and that's just enough to pay my car bill.
Okay, so I've got to ask, like, you've got to be very talented to live in the United States of America, work full-time, and earn as little as $500 to $1,000 a month. So tell us about that talent. How did you do that, Scott?
I stretched a dollar. I mean, I was very good at making, you know, fried beans and boiled beans, and that was my meals, you know. Tortillas was very good for me. And that's pretty much for the most part it. I mean, that was my meals everywhere I went, and I just hung around and mooched off other people.
Okay, and you're not joking right now, by the
No, I'm
way.
being dead honest.
Okay, well, this is good. Again, this is foreign to me, so it's one of those things that I'm going to want to learn more about. Where did that mindset come from, Scott? And specifically, like, what caused you to believe, I guess, at the time that was an okay existence?
I mean, it was the word that pops out to me that it's always been like a staple in my life was a lack of confidence.
Okay.
I not until recently, I would say the last 3 years, do I really feel like a changed person. But it all just came down to the mental battle that I was going through in my mind. Just never thought I was ever good enough for anything. If I even attempted to it, my natural reaction was like, I'm gonna fail. Why even attempt it? It's not gonna happen. So I would just, let it pass and just kind of just live life and just be in the background somewhere.
Wow, you're saying so much, I don't even know what angle to take. But I guess I'm going to stick with the confidence thing because, Scott, I think that a lot of people have a hard time with this. And some of them are listening right now. Some of our listeners, I hope you're taking this seriously because some of them are stuck right now in mediocrity. They're stuck in lives of poverty, they're stuck in lives of hopelessness, they're stuck in lives of despair. And nobody knows about it, but they know about it inside, right? And yet they're stuck in that, and they show up to work in this amazing country, in this amazing industry, day in and day out, but they kind of don't see a way out, right? And I guess for you, what got you there was a lack of confidence. Is that
Yes,
correct?
100%.
Okay, great. So talk about how, as a salesperson, which is what you are, talk about how that lack of confidence hurt you. And how you could see it hurting other people.
I mean, if I don't have confidence in myself that I'm going to do the best job for the client that I'm trying to service, they're going to see it right away and not believe a word I have to say. Even though I have the best intention and I mean well, they're not going to trust me. They're not going to have confidence that they can trust me to handle their financing, which is the biggest the biggest debt they're ever going to have. So, I mean, life was tough. I couldn't get a sale. I mean, if I did get a sale, it was my friends and family,
Yeah.
and it was like a favor. I was like, oh, let me see what I can do. I'll pay for your appraisal. I mean, I'll go over your house even if you live in LA. I mean, I went above and beyond just to make sure that I can get the deal done. And even when I got that deal, it was like a 45-day transaction and it was a refinance.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, Scott. So I hear on one side you had a lack of confidence, but then at the same time, I hear that you would go above and beyond once you actually had the deal. So, question for you, do you think that all along, was there a voice inside of you, or did you know that you had more capability in you? Let's start there.
Yeah, 100%. Like in my mind, I was like, it was a mental battle. And I would definitely be losing that mental battle more than winning it because it was like, in my mind, I was like, yes, you can do anything you want to do it. I mean, you're a good person. You're definitely gonna work a hard worker. I mean, I've always worked hard my entire life. There was never been a lack of hard work, but the execution was where I would lack. Where I'm like, I know I've heard it before, where you get to the 80% mark and you're stuck there and you don't want to push through because you're too fearful of the
Right.
success and then too fearful of failing in front of other people and being too worried about what they were going to think of you for not for failing.
Well, Scott, I can't say enough how much I know for a fact that this is, I'm going to venture to say, 60 to 70% of our entire community right now. And some of them may not be playing video games and, eating Cheetos on the couch, but they're just they're that fear has them stuck right there, right? So let's talk about this, okay? Because obviously you're literally a different human being,
100%, yes.
right? You can just tell. Tell me, the old Scott, what was your time management like? What time would you wake up? Let's start there.
I'd probably get up between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning. I'd be in the office. Yeah, no, it's
Oh my God.
yeah, because I was up late, playing video games, but I was up like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, walking into the office like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
And wait, and did anybody ever tell you that that was not okay? That
There's a close people in my like a good sphere of people that are around me that would tell me that they see more potential in me. But it's kind of weird sometimes because you sometimes have to hear it from somebody else and not
Right.
from the people around you. And they would tell me like, "Hey, there's potential in you. You can do so much more." I mean, Some, like, for example, my old broker, my old boss, Yuri Lojeda, perfect person, my best friend. I mean, he really stuck around me more of like as a favor to me. Like, he knew that there was always potential in me and would constantly tell me, hey, man, just put in that effort, put in that effort. But I mean, I think it was more of like a, like, he was too fearful to fire me because I was his best friend, So it was
Right.
like, do I fire my friend? I know he could do well, he means well. So I mean, it was just that life. It was just, moseying in on in the office, getting there at 10:30, check what's going on Facebook, play some games on my computer. I mean, I'm processing probably one loan at the time, so I had,
Not
all the free
much to
time,
do.
not much to do. I wouldn't be home at my parents' house because, I mean, they'd know I wouldn't be working. I'm at the office working, doing the activity from 10:30 probably to like 5 o'clock. I'm at the office, and there you go. I'm putting my time in.
So in other words, you were in the office, but you weren't really accomplishing anything.
No, I was just a body on a desk.
Okay. And you think that all of that has to do with the lack of confidence that you had, is that correct?
100%. I was in my own way of succeeding.
Okay. So let's piggyback into that for a second, okay? Because here you are, you're obviously a young guy. At the time, were you married? Did you have kids?
I was just getting married. I was just dating. Yeah,
Okay.
my fiance, my wife at the, yeah.
Okay, fiance at the wife.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then I just I just can't even, because I know who you are now. I just
Yeah.
can't even, I have a hard time believing that and understanding that, but that's okay. So you would come in 10 o'clock, mosey around, play video games all night, wake up really late, whatever the case may be, and then just kind of repeat over and over.
Yeah, that was, I had no direction in my life. I was just kind of just a body just moaning around. Like, I had no direction, just going about life and
Okay.
just looking forward to the weekends, looking forward to football Sundays.
Okay. And so what happened? If you could, and I want you to try hard, but if you could think back to the moment or the thing, because I think that most breakthroughs come from breakdowns,
Yeah.
right? And something has to happen where we go, wait a minute, time out. This is too much. I have to do something. Did that happen to you, or what was it that woke you up?
It did. Well, the biggest thing that stands out to me that actually happened, I mean, I was already tired of kind of the life I was living. And the book of the month, or the book that was recommended to me, was The Four Agreements. So I had read The Four Agreements. It was definitely more than one thing. It was a thing of, I would say, three or
Series.
four things, serious things. It was Tony Robbins, it was the book of the month, and it was the Four Agreements, and it was a conversation that I had with you one-on-one. And it hit home. It was like, you pretty much told me that I would fire you if it wasn't for the person that you were working for at the time. Like, it was like, and that, it was weird because that hit home. The Four Agreements, it was just, everything was perfect timing. It just happened in a perfect sequence that after that moment, it's like someone slapped me in the face, or I guess you would say, dumped a bucket of holy water on me, and I saw the light, and life just started changing for me. Slowly, I started chipping away at my confidence, my mentality overall. I mean, everything just started changing for me after that moment.
And so I got to ask, because knowing me, I've had several of those conversations with people.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as gentle
No.
as I would fire you unless, I mean,
Yeah.
I probably laid into you
Oh yeah. It
pretty
was,
hard.
you laid into me very hard, to the point where it was amongst a lot of peers. And I think it was the you laying into me and being around the peers that really, really like
Embarrassed
finally
you.
broke through. Yeah, it embarrassed me. Completely embarrassed me.
Which people, listeners, sometimes you need that embarrassment.
And you
I
know
mean,
what it
that's,
was, Danny?
yeah, go ahead.
It was pretty much you exposed me. And I think that exposure is where it snapped. It was like, oh shit, fucking people know I'm a loser. In my mind, that's what I thought. And I was like, okay, I can't let people think that about me. And that's what really changed things for me.
By the way, Scott, that was the first bad word ever said on our show. So
I'm
congratulations, you're the
sorry.
first lender
Well, there you
and the
go.
first bad word, but that's okay. So, and I feel like I need to say this to a lot of our listeners. Some of you, whether you realize it or not, you're Scott right now. Or you're the old Scott, right? And it could be fine. You could be paying your bills. You could be even earning $100,000 a year right now. And yet, deep inside, you know that you've got more potential. Okay, so don't for a second minimize what Scott is saying just because he was as bad off as he was, right? The reality is that we've got a lot of listeners that are in your shoes right now that that are just kind of coasting and that are doing the same but doing just enough to get by, right?
Yeah, I was okay with being okay.
You were okay with being okay. All right. And so then, so tell me, so you read the book, you went to Tony Robbins, I had to talk with you. What's the first thing you remember doing?
The first thing I remember doing is just honestly just put my head down and start applying it. I mean, I made sure that every book that was recommended to me, I read it. I think within that first year, I read 36 books that year total. I got rid of music. I got rid of video games. I pretty much got rid of TV. I was watching some sports, but nothing to be like I was a huge fanatic about.
Right.
And I just replaced it all with just books. I plugged in every time I could. Hear you talk, I plugged in. And I just started applying it. Everything that I was learning, I just started applying it. I no longer was thinking, well, what if I fail? Or what if this? I just said, you know what? Screw it.
You just went.
I mean, I just went. Good. Yeah.
Good. And you know, the beauty is for some of you listening is that that's sometimes you have to get out of your own way that way. You know, now, Scott, I know that you obviously have the benefit of working with us on a day-to-day basis. But yeah. For some of our listeners, they might, again, because when we're in like negative land, we look for ways to be more negative and we look for ways to reinforce the negativity.
Yeah.
So they might be saying right now in their minds, well, that's just because you have this type of coaching and training. Well, for you listeners, this podcast, that was the intention. The intention of this show was to bring to you these types of principles and beliefs to help you break through in your life. Okay. So Scott, so you start taking different steps and just out of curiosity, what happened? I mean, you went from how many loans a month or every other month? How did that work?
Well, I was doing probably like 1 month a loan. I mean, the first year that I really got my license, I did 12 loans. Second year was 36 loans. And this last past year was 72. And now I'm on pace to close 120.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
So, like, I know this month you originated over 15 loans.
15 loans, exactly, yes.
Fantastic. So, I take it you don't wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning anymore?
No, 9 o'clock, not at all. 3:45 in the morning.
Okay, whoa. Okay, time out. Man, Scott, you go from like extreme to extreme, right?
yeah, 100%.
So 3:45 in the morning.
Yes, 3:45.
Which is the time I wake up, so yeah. I know what you're talking about. So, so let's talk about that, because some people think I'm nuts when I recommend getting into the gym, getting into the office early, right? Your morning routine. Why 3:45, and what has been the benefit for you? And a lot of questions.
Yes.
Was it tough?
Oh, it's 100% tough. But it doesn't become as tough anymore when your vision, your dream, you know, the vision that you have is more clear. Like when it's clear, it's not negotiable anymore. Like as soon as the benefits of waking up at 3:45, being at the gym at 4, being at the office at 7, as soon as the results started coming in, I would tell myself, not negotiable. You have to be at the gym at 4 in the morning. Awesome. It affects your business. If you don't go to the gym,
it affects your business, your money, your finances, your ability to provide for your family. If you don't go to the gym, you believe this.
I 100% in my mind believe that if I'm not up at that morning and not at the gym, and if I'm not at the office at 7, it affects my business 100%.
So would you say that it's a little bit of a trigger for you? Like a,
yes.
Yeah.
It's, Anthony said this before, it's like a psychological edge, being first, being at the office before everybody else,
wow.
Being at the gym before everybody else, watching everybody walk in after you, you feel like that I got an advantage of you because I got a little bit more in than you did that day.
Mm. And you know the opposite of that.
Yes,
you know
100%.
Being last.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And isn't it amazing, Scott, I don't think you've ever recognized this, but you literally said, I just wanted to be in the back of the room.
Yes.
And now you say, I want to be first.
Yes.
Talk to me about winning, Scott. How important is winning to you? How, because I don't know how to put it gently, but you like losing was like okay in the past.
Yeah.
And see, now it's not. Now you are someone that is committed to winning and the results are proving, I mean, are showing. Talk to me about that.
I mean, it's such a benefit. I know I'm a very competitive person. So if I'm in 100%. And if I don't feel like, right. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I can win, so I'm not going to give my all. That used to be my mindset. But now it's more of like, if I win, if I'm first, if I do whatever I got to do that it takes, everybody benefits from it. My family benefits from it. My clients benefit from it. My partners that work with me in the real estate industry benefit from it. I give the best me, and everyone wins from that result.
Okay, I love it. So now a lot of what we've been talking about is mindset.
Yes.
Give me specific techniques, or let's talk about the importance of sales skills.
Okay.
Let's talk about the importance of knowing what to say and how to say it, whether you're approaching a real estate agent or whether you're talking to a client. Talk to me about your presentation. How much has that changed?
Like before in my presentation, I would just kind of go over numbers as far as the client side, but now I go through a full-on buyer's presentation.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you say, like, when you do a presentation, you really don't get much objections if your presentation's key or on point. And I feel that that's how it is for me now. When I go through the presentation, I know that the information that I'm giving my clients is the information they have to hear and that they need to hear. So I know that part is 100% solid, and I do great at that.
Scott, can I mean, son of a gun, you reek confidence. You reek confidence. How does that feel, man?
It feels great. It honestly really feels great because it's given me like positive affirmations to what I've been working hard for. Like when I finish a presentation and I hear the client says, "Scott, I've never heard this from a lender. I've been through the transaction multiple times. This is the first time that it's explained this thorough to me. This is the first time that I feel like I can ask any question and get the answers that I'm looking for, or even get answers to questions I don't even know I'm supposed to ask, since this is my first time that I'm buying a house."
Wow.
So that's the best feeling in the world to hear that from the clients. And literally after we finish the presentation.
So, if I was a brand new lender and I wanted to create a better presentation, what tips would you give me? What one, two, or three tips would you give me?
The first thing I can tell you is whatever you're doing on your computer, share it with the client somehow. If you can put it on a big screen, show them exactly how you're coming up with the numbers you're coming up with, that goes a long way. Because sometimes when you're a client and all you see is the back of a laptop, and the lender's just telling you based on the $200,000 payment, sales price, I'm sorry, your payment's $1,400, it's kind of tough for them to figure out how you came up with that number. So that's really the first thing. And then the second thing, I mean, try to be approachable. Like, allow them to ask questions that they don't may not even know that they need to ask. Be very transparent with the presentation that you go through so that they understand it from top to bottom. Because remember, it's uncharted territory. They've never been through this process. So the more that you can share with them, the more confidence they're going to have throughout the process, and the less fear they're going to have as they go through the entire process, which is going to give a benefit to the real estate agent because they're going to feel that they're being well taken care of.
Awesome. And Scott, one thing that I don't know if I mean you've realized, but how is the confidence interacting with the client now? And do you feel that the small sacrifices that you make, you know, waking up earlier, knowing your scripting, having your presentation, you know, intact, do you feel that it's the reason for the confidence, I guess?
100%. I feel going into the presentation that I'm the best lender for them. So, and it comes off. And I know that if I feel that way, I am doing my job for them.
Awesome. So Scott, tell me, I'm big on living a life of contribution, and I'm very, very big on helping others get what they want, and then you'll automatically be fine. And I'm big on cost versus value, and specifically speaking about the value that you bring to the world and to the amount of people that you bring it to is directly associated with the compensation that you will receive, right? So you went from earning $500 to $1,000 a month. To what will you earn this year?
This year I will earn 370,000.
Holy moly. That is like I love hearing you say that. And the best part about it is that you're helping a lot of people and you're the backbone of a lot of real estate professionals' business. I mean, they count on you. Without
100%.
you, then their business and their family doesn't grow, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about cost versus value and talk to me about what that means to you.
Well, it means everything. I have to apply it to my business. How can I give my clients more value, and how can I give the agents that I work with more value? So I'm not just the other lender that's just pretty much giving stuff away. Like, here, go get more leads, and when you get a lead, give me a call. Or I'm more of like, how can we get better together, or how can I help you grow in your business, whatever the cost is, because I know the value, the upside of it, it's tremendous. Now I've earned a relationship with an agent for a very long time, for a lifetime. He has true trust in me, and
Right.
I have true trust in her or him. And
Wonderful.
I'd rather have that type of relationship than to be dropped for another loan officer because the loan officer is providing more marketing, free marketing, or some back-end stuff.
Okay, but hold on. Hold on. This is big because this is real estate 101 here. When there is no value, then we have to somehow try to find a way to replace it with cost.
Yes.
And so I know here in Southern California, even though it is the greatest violation that you can imagine, I mean, you know, these kickbacks and these lenders that offer to, you know, pay for, you know, I don't know, your leads or your dialers or your average, you know, whatever it is. Do you do any of that stuff?
I don't.
You don't at all?
I don't. The only thing I do is we partner together and we pay stuff for together. Like, for example, whatever we can contribute together so we can go through our marketing team, we do that.
Okay.
But cool. As far as outright, just here's $500, go knock yourself out and create some flyers or that, I don't.
Nothing by the book.
Nothing like that.
You know, but I remember, you know, obviously I'm your coach and I remember you would, like, when you were in the process of breaking through, you would come to me with like this nervous look on your eye, almost as if the confidence would start to wane a little bit. I remember this. And you would ask me things like, hey, what do I say? They're saying that so-and-so is going to get them a drone or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know? What would I tell you? And what would you think when I would tell you that?
I mean, you were just straight out black and white. You don't need the drone.
Yeah.
Focus on the value. Focus on what you can do for the client and for the agent. Focus on your scripts. I mean, it was just everything that the opposite. It was never, oh yeah, go buy it. Or yeah, you need to go get one right away. It was never, it was the complete opposite.
And did you buy into that theory at first, or was that a little tough for you to?
You know, at first it was tough, but I've learned so much from you and from what have happened in my past that I was just, you know what, he's right. I mean, just put my head down and keep doing what he says.
Blind faith.
Blind faith.
Awesome.
The faster that you can get out of your way, the better results you're going to have.
It's funny, Scott, because I, you know, as we've been building our company and even as we're building this podcast right now, I don't ask anybody. Well, I ask everybody to go rate it and like it and review it because that does help. But
yeah,
that's if that's, you know, out of the goodness of their heart and if they are finding value from these shows. I just really believe, and I think my life and your life and the lives of the people that buy into these principles, even though it's a little scary at first to change things, the reality is that when you come from contribution and when you strictly focus on helping other people achieve what they want, money is never an issue. Nothing is ever an issue, you know? So good for you for living life in that fashion, my friend. So tell me this, Scott, what's the future hold for you? I mean, what do you see on your horizons? What are some of your big goals, your big dreams?
Well, the first goal is going to be adding a second person to the team. I definitely want to be able to add to my team so that I'm able to service more loans and service more people and help them out. But now I want to look into the investment side. I know I get inspired by you and wanting to own 100 doors, and I just think myself what's possible for me.
Hold on, I'm not going to own 100 doors. I'm going to own 1,000 doors.
1,000 doors.
Don't cut you short. Jinx me like that, okay? Okay, so why don't we do this then, Scott? By the way, this has been 30 minutes, and it's felt like it's gone fast, huh?
Yeah, very fast. I didn't even realize it's 30 minutes already.
So now we have a special portion of the show where if you haven't done so already, please go to Facebook and go to facebook.com/danny.morell.page or just type in Danny Morell and you'll find me. Like my page, and whenever I'm on the show, literally live with a guest, I will ask, what questions do you have? And you can ask your questions live as we're interviewing the guest. So Scott, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I got a question here.
Okay.
This is a question from Mr. Marlo Martinez. So Marlo, thank you for asking the questions. What are the tricks for pricing and costing out loans correctly?
What are the tricks for pricing and costing out loans correctly?
Tricks is a little bit of a tricky word.
Yeah, it is. So I guess
what's I don't know, not trick, but what is, how do you price loans correctly?
I mean, I just go based off the pricing agent if that's what he's asking. But if it's going to be more of like competing against others, I mean, you can't control what others have to offer and what you have to offer. I mean, the rates are the rates. The pricing is the pricing. I just know that I will provide the best service I can. I can't control if someone is going to beat me out by a percentage very small percentage. But I do address that to the clients and say, hey, if you do find something that is a little better than what I have to offer, just please share it my way and we'll definitely do what we can to make sure we match it.
So Scott, so, you know, and I remember we had someone working with us that literally couldn't handle this idea.
Yeah.
It was like, if I can't beat the rate, yeah, I can't get the business. And I, yeah. And he eyed him way out of here, yes. His way out of here. And I always taught you, like, don't worry about that stuff. Right.
I haven't made it an issue, honestly. And it hasn't been an issue. Same thing with down payment assistance programs. Sometimes we focus, do we have it? Do we don't have it? I mean, I just know that if I keep doing the best that I can, I mean, the clients are going to attract to me. Clients that need it, clients that don't need it. But either way, I'll be here to give them the best service I can.
Do you feel, we have a lot of real estate agents that listen to the show. Do you feel that this philosophy works the same way in real estate sales?
100%.
So for example, you know, the whole commission cutting and all that stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you feel, what advice would you give real estate agents?
Same thing, just have confidence in yourself. Just believe in yourself. That's all you ultimately have to do. Are you the best person for the job? Yes. Do you work your butt off to earn the commission that you earn? Yes. Do you genuinely, in your heart, know that you're going to do right by the person? If all those answers are yes, then you deserve the income that you deserve to make for yourself. Mm. No one should take that away from you. If there's a little doubt there, then maybe there's, you know, if you don't feel like you're doing that, then you need to improve yourself.
Wow. I love it. I love it. And this is spoken from someone that genuinely has gone through the process.
Yeah.
So when he says it, remember the guy, right? Couch potato, video games to $375,000. And that's this year. I mean, Scott, I'm working slowly to prepare you to earn $1 million a year because there's absolutely no reason why you can't do that.
Yeah.
What's that going to be like, man? Like,
I'm excited.
$1 million a year, couch potato. $1 million a year, couch potato.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to kicking my feet on the sand with the Corona in my hand and yes. watching the waves crash, you know?
I love it. I love it. And again, because people's egos run wild, all through helping other people grow, right? So here's another question. What was the difference in your process from one loan to 15 loans?
Communication. I'm very transparent with the agents as well. Bad news is bad news. Good news is good news. Either way, it's news. You relay it. Keep on doing your best. But communication is the biggest difference. Just get in there. Do what you got to do. Do your job correctly. Don't check Facebook out. Just get that file in and get it out as soon as possible. Communicate who you need to get communicate with to make sure that you acquire what you need. But I just don't let time pass by anymore. I just, if it's there, get it done as soon as possible. If they say 30 days, get it done before 30 days.
So communication is a very broad word, Scott.
Yes.
Give me specific examples. How do you communicate and to who do you communicate to?
When the file opens, everybody knows what's going on. When the appraisal is ordered, everyone's aware. When it comes back, everyone's aware. When the file is disclosed, everyone's aware. When conditions are needed from the client, everyone's aware. I want to make sure that everybody knows that they're holding me accountable to make sure that I'm doing my job. And at the same time, I want them to know to put pressure on whoever I need help with to make sure we get those items in as soon as possible.
And it's amazing, but you are accepting the accountability, and that's because you're accepting accountability in your personal life.
Yes.
And because you wake up every day, you have accountability partners. Yeah. Talk to me about that. Here's a question that I have for you. Sure. How important has having accountability partners been for you in your transformation?
100% a big difference, because when you see somebody else do well and I'm not doing a great month, I'm like, I got to pick it up. What am I not doing? While they're at the office already, I need to be at the office. While they're going out for exercise, I need to exercise. It just kind of reminds you when you feel like taking a little chill or like relax. Hey, maybe you're doing good, Scott. Maybe you should kind of relax this next couple of days. Not when that accountability text message comes in. Offer accepted. New pre-approval. Whoa, I need to get on my game. I need to hurry up and do the same. So, I mean, accountability partners is 100% good to have because it keeps you on your toes every day.
So this is a tough one. Your circle of influence, the people you hung out with when you were playing the video games versus today has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, it has had to have changed.
Yes.
Was that tough for you?
It is. It's still tough today because there's a lot of people that I grew up with and were close to that I'm no longer close to or really talk to anymore. I mean, typically it's about talking about, you know, when'd you finish that 30 pack? And it's just like, I can't relate to that anymore. It's just like, yeah, I have nothing to talk about.
Right.
It's more of like, what book did you just finish reading? Or did you just hear that? Did you see that quote? Did you accomplish that? And so it's kind of tough.
I think there's one more question. Hang on. And by the way, excuse me if I'm looking down, but I'm trying to, do 75 things at one time. So we have another question here. Oh, good one. What training from Miguel Macias, what training or webinar recommendations do you recommend?
Tony Robbins, Productive Learning and Leisure. Read every book that you can possibly read. Autobiographies are great. Steve Jobs was awesome. Even Nelson Mandela was great. Phil Jackson was great. You want to take stories from other people and what their accomplishments, even if it's not in the same field. Listen to those things, but just replace all your music with Audible podcasts. Just plug in as much as you can. Take any weekend webinars as you can. The more you do for yourself to help you grow, the better it's going to be. It's going to be tough at first because it's going to be new experiences, but it becomes regular.
Awesome. Any final thoughts on your way to millions, my friend? Because you are on your way. You fought the hard battle. You broke through, and I don't think anything is stopping you now.
No. I would just say is the I keep going back to confidence. Build your confidence by reading books, listening to positive people, your sphere of influence. If there's negative people in your life, get rid of them. Just don't hang out with them anymore. And just ultimately, just put your head down, do your best 100%. Don't think. And what I mean by that, don't think about the outcome. Just know that whatever you're doing, the activity it is, that the results are going to be positive. If you're supposed to prospect, prospect. If you're supposed to be role playing and mastering your scripts, master them. But just focus on that and just don't think. Just get out of your own way. Don't even listen to your subconscious. Don't even listen to whatever speaking in the background is there. Whatever that's on that shoulder says, don't do it. Just get rid of them. Don't even put your headphones on and just
Just go.
go. Go. Don't
Awesome.
even think.
Scott, how do people get a hold of you?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Spell your name so that they can know how to find you.
Scott Alejo, Scott Alejo at Facebook. I think that's what it is on Twitter. It's all the same. There's not really much Scott Alejos you're going to
Yeah, there's
find in the
not really
world.
too many. And
Yeah.
what mortgage company do you work with?
Prime Source Mortgage.
Awesome, fantastic. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for a couple of reasons. Thank you not only for being on the show, but thank you for being an example of what's possible, that literally anybody that follows the success principles that we teach can actually break through in their life. For those of you that are listening and regular listeners, I've got a couple of guests lined up on this show that are going to blow your mind. Next week, we're going to have my good friend, Mr. Joe DeRaphael, someone that essentially literally takes hundreds of listings a year with zero marketing dollars, zero marketing dollars, and was the individual that was most responsible, other than my coach Mike Ferry, for teaching me how to sell. So that is one you are not going to want to miss. The following week, we have my great friend and the founder of NAREP, the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals, Mr. Gary Acosta, that's going to be on the show. And then we have a phenomenal real estate professional from the Silicon Valley, Mr. Alex Lair, who's going to be joining us on the show and talking to us about how to earn millions of dollars, how to do fantastic in business, but most importantly, how to maintain a fa an amazing family life. So, guys, if you haven't already done so, and if you are finding value from this show, please make sure that you go into iTunes or to Stitcher and rate it 5 stars or above. If there's an above and they come up with that, rate it that, okay? And write a review. Let us know what you're thinking about the show. It helps us tremendously when it comes to the rankings, and we're doing fantastic, and it's all because of you and your support. Thank you so much for joining us on episode number 7 of The Real Estate Show. Thank you so much, Scott, for being here on the show.
Thank
And
you for
as
having me.
always, guys, be more, go out there, do more, and as a result, you will have a lot more. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.